The Fan on Demand. Now more of the Andrew Crystal Show on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Andrew Crystal with you. This is Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Good afternoon. Well, well, well. Love to get your reaction to an incredible Game 4. Series tied. We didn't know which team would show up, but Boston showed up big again. 416-870-590, 888-660-590, star 590. Boston outscoring Vancouver. 12-1 in the last two games. Amazing stuff. Michael Hurley of the New England Sports Network. You can check him out at NESN M. Hurley. Let's get a Boston native's reaction to the Bruins beating again of the Canucks. How are you, Michael?
Well, you know, it's 100 degrees out, and the Bruins have evened up the Stanley Cup Finals, so it's a good day in Boston.
Now, one of the things I want the folks to understand, and I was reflecting upon this when I didn't hear Phil Kessel's name mentioned in the gold medal Olympic game. I heard Kessler, didn't hear Kessel. The way a player performs, I think, can be, you can equate that and calibrate that to how many times he's mentioned in a broadcast. I'm hearing Milan Lucic's name. I didn't hear Lucic's name earlier in the series, but he seems to have found his legs. His name is mentioned frequently on plays because he is a force once again. Let's talk about the revitalized, reborn, new skating legs of one Milan Lucic.
You're right, because it hasn't been the best postseason for him. He led the team in goals in the regular season. Once he scored that 30th goal late in the regular season, he kind of tailed off and didn't really. He's had his ups and downs in the playoffs, but last night was his best performance by far. He got a really great shot off on Luongo early. He got a few shots off. He was laying his body, throwing his body around, just really setting a tone that the Canucks didn't want to get hit. And Lucic was one of the hardest hitters out there on the ice. So you're right. Even not scoring a goal, I don't think he had an assist. But his line scored two goals, and he just a force, like you said.
Now, Vancouver could beat up the Hawks. They couldn't beat up the Predators, but the Predators couldn't score to, you know, at all. I find this Boston team very interesting for Vancouver because Vancouver just can't push them off the puck unless they want to be pushed. So it's interesting to see you don't see Rafi Torres skating around like you have in earlier series with San Jose, who have got some guys that can deliver hits, McGinn and company. But then they get themselves in trouble, didn't they?
Yeah, they're just not looking tough. And at this stage of the playoffs, you have to be tough. And I think nothing is a perfect indication of the series more than that ISO shot of Brad Marchand just bothering Henrik Sedin before a faceoff, slashing him in the back of the leg, slashing him in the legs. And Henrik just took it. He just took it. It sort of accepted the punishment, and I think that's the way the series has shifted. The Bruins are doing what they want all over the place, on the ice, between whistles, after whistles. They're being the tougher team, and the 12-1 goal differential in the past two games is exactly what is a result of that.
Now, later in the broadcast, I'm going to be getting people's reaction on CBC's coverage here in Canada, Michael, of the game. At one point, they said, well, the Bruins have pulled the game into the ditch. They mentioned the game has been pulled into the ditch twice. I guess that means if Vancouver isn't winning, the game is in the ditch. I think we saw Ottawa Senators fans do that against the Leafs when the Leafs beat them in the playoffs. They said the Leafs bullied them. And, you know, Ottawa at that point was loaded, and the Leafs were physical with them. But that's the kind of sour grapes I heard. I don't think that anything was in the ditch. I mean, Vancouver has bullied and pulverized other teams. They hit a lot of guys in San Jose. They decimated the Chicago Blackhawks. They've had a physical edge in every series except the Nashville. I mean, there was no hitting there because almost like they were both two big teams. But the physical play definitely has been in Boston's favor, and I don't know if Vancouver can counter that because Boston seems to be playing well as a five-man unit. They're not getting spread out. They're playing within their own capabilities. What do you make of the team play of Boston, and you see some Canuck players in frustration going it alone. Your comments?
Well, just the ditch. I mean, if laying head hits a second late and knocking a guy out of the playoffs isn't taking something into a ditch, if flopping when you're barely touched or embellishing a high stick isn't bringing the game down, then I don't know what is. So I don't think the Bruins are bringing the game into a ditch. They're playing tough and they're playing physical, and a lot of what they're doing is just saying, hey, can you match this intensity and this toughness? And the Canucks aren't answering. So the 5-on-5, the team play that you mentioned, the Bruins are in the driver's seat right now. It's 2-2, obviously, and can go either way, but the Bruins just have to keep playing the game that they're playing. They just have to – they're doing what they want, and Vancouver can't match it. You know, Vancouver isn't doing really anything it wants to, and I think that's kind of obvious when it's 12-1 over the last five periods. But it's just the Bruins have to keep doing exactly what they're doing, and I haven't seen anything from Vancouver that makes me think they're going to respond with some sort of emotional pull in Game 5. And if it gets back to Boston 3-2 with the Bruins with a 3-2 win, I don't think there's going to be much fight on Monday night.
What happens in the NHL playoffs, and you guys listening to us this morning, or this afternoon rather, Michael Hurley of the New England Sports Network joins me. You're familiar with guys like Talbot with Pittsburgh, and there's a million guys I can reference that, are plugging away during the regular season. But come playoff time, there's a presence that they make which is incalculable. Some of it's emotional, some of it's physical, and some of it's being at the right place at the right time because they're working so darn hard. And some of it may be, that finding this new talent level that you never knew you had. And I think of Rich Peverley. I think of Brad Marchand. I think of these guys that have stepped up, Peverley filling in for Horton, and it's tough to replace the 8 goals, 9 assists, and 17 points in the playoffs that Horton represents as the arguably the best winger that Boston has. But you're seeing these guys, these foot soldiers, and how many times have we heard that theme in the Cup Final? These foot soldiers have big games, and I talk about Marchand and Peverley. Let's address that with you.
Yeah, I said the other day when I talked to you that there's no replacing Nathan Horton, but Peverley did. He played what he wanted to do. He used his speed to find open ice, went 5-hole on Luongo, stepped up. You know, that set the tone for the whole game. If the Canucks scored the first goal, the Bruins are staring a 3-1 hole in the face. But instead, Peverley was the one that scored. The second one, granted, it bounced off his leg or his foot, whatever it did. But he was driving hard to the net, doing what he needed to do. And he's been a very good player. But to step up that way, to fill in for Horton, it's just like you said, it's rising to that moment in the playoffs, and you have to respect Peverley for doing it. And then Marchand, he's been doing that pretty much all year. He sort of earned his role on this team as a fourth liner, being a pest, being that prototypical pest.
But you're Michael, you've got to say, when you talk about Brad Marchand, you have to say one thing after you say his name.
Mm-hmm.
A great Halifax boy.
Oh, okay.
You have
sorry.
To say that's
I,
very
I
important.
Leave that out.
You must let Boston. You must let New England know that. Let New England know that. The people that send you, people that send Boston a Christmas tree every winter, okay,
yep.
Those folks also bring you
that through.
Brad Marchand. Merry Christmas.
We got our trees and we got Marchand, but I'll tell you.
I want Boston to say thank you, Halifax.
I'll say it right now. We appreciate Halifax for all it's done for us, mostly with Marchand lately, but he made his name sort of as that agitator, get it under people's skin, a little face washing after the whistle stuff, but the kid's got some great skill. And you saw it with the shorthanded goal in Game 3, just breaking free, getting behind everyone, and really finishing, like a real finisher's finish there. And then, his hands in tight last night to score that goal, to have the calm hands to get the puck on the stick, on the tape, and beat the goalie.
Now,
he's been great.
Marchand has a low center of gravity, I like to say. He's short. He's one of these fire hydrant pluggers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he was going in the corner last night and knocking everybody, Cherry said he went wacko, but I don't think that's the case. But there were bodies falling all over the place. Marchand was knocking around. But at one point, he's lifting his arm, and his hand knocks a helmet off. It was characterized as a clothesline by some. Now, even if a Vancouver player had done that, given the dimensions of Marchand, I wouldn't say that's an intentional clothesline. He's trying to get his arm around the guy. They're in tight. What did you make of that play?
Yeah, I didn't see a clothesline. I saw more of a football-style stiff arm there, and it was a good penalty call because you definitely can't do that. But then when when Sedin came at him and he ducked out of it, I know the Versus crew here in America made it seem like it was the most dangerous play in the history of
professional
sports.
He's a short guy.
Right.
He crouched.
He had a guy coming at him, and he could either gotten clocked in the face or ducked it. So if you have a problem with that, then you're just going to have a problem with everything in this game. So I don't think that was dirty. I thought it was a save-your-neck type moment. And you know, they took him off the ice. They took McQuaid off the ice. That's, if you're keeping track at home, that's the second Bruin in two games for getting kicked out of the game for being scary.
How are you going if a Boston player is skating towards a Vancouver player? Right,
mm-hmm.
The forward
right.
momentum is coming from the Boston player. Let's reverse it,
okay.
And the Vancouver player is against the boards and crouches. Okay, he's not moving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he ducks down. It's the guy that's got the forward momentum that's trying to make the hit that's at fault, is it not?
Right, and in this case, it was after the whistle. It was pretty close to the whistle, but. If you're standing still, you're a dead duck. So like you said, it's either accept a punishing hit to the head or fight back. And that's one way to fight back. And Vancouver might have a problem with that because the Canucks haven't been fighting back.
Well, it's the issue, too, is Marchand's dimensions, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why you saw a helmet lifted off. That's why you saw, you know, when he crouches, you know, what that means in terms of the other guy's body position. That's just
mm-hmm.
a short, tough guy. Getting under people's skin. But fortunately, one of the Sedin twins wasn't hurt on that play. Which Sedin was it? Do you remember?
I think it was Daniel. I believe it was Daniel on that one.
Let's talk about Luongo. I don't know any other sports media character, I'm talking about yours truly here, that has been more vociferous in his disdain for the over-promotion of Roberto Luongo. Earlier today, it was said on... Sportsnet by Doug McClain that Luongo was decent in the first two games, etc. I didn't see Boston with quality chances against Luongo. You could put a monkey in the net, and if there aren't good quality chances, there aren't good quality chances. I don't think Luongo was spectacular. I don't think Boston generated any offense in the first two games, and I think the score flattered Boston because I just didn't believe in the Bees in either of those two games in Vancouver. I didn't see them with any scary plays in terms of goal-scoring potential. So I see Luongo as a highly overrated player, and he showed that again last night. Your thoughts?
I agree on the first two games. You got a job, but in no way was he spectacular. I thought the Bruins never made him win the game, and what you've seen in the two games in Boston is they've unleashed shots from all over the place. The Mike Ryder goal last night was 45-foot wrist shot, glove side, and he just waved at it. He was clueless on it. And I thought he had looked okay up to that point, but after that, the wheels came off. He's just supposed to be this, you know, he unseated Martin Brodeur in the Olympics for Canada. He's the captain. He's signed up
former
there
captain.
Former captain, signed up there for you know, the next 10 years. He's supposed to be the man, and he's not being, right now, Corey Schneider, who was great at BC here, is right now, you can make the argument that he's a better goalie for Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
Absurd.
I agree. I think that Schneider is a better goalie. Now, what about the Beverly snapshot in the five hole?
He gave it. That five hole was screaming for the shot, and credit to Beverly for seeing it. But, yeah, I saw the slow-mo replay, and it's almost as if Luongo forgot that the puck can go through there because it was wide open.
I think he was expecting a high shot there.
He might have been, but you know, if you're he was hung out to dry on that one. I can kind of let it go. But I thought the Ryder goal was just awful. And then to get it, the Marchand goal was as much Ballard's fault. So it's good to see that the suspension has hurt the Canucks immediately. You know, -2 in his first game, filling in for Rome. So all around, it's been good. And I think having Luongo in the situation and having Schneider stop all those shots is the best situation for Boston because now you have the controversy. Now you have the questions, and you have Luongo, who I don't think is going to deal with it all that well.
Also, Michael Hurley, Boston has beaten up Vancouver's defense. I mean, you know, Kessler looks like he's wounded out there. You're seeing the defense corps with their depletions through both being penalized and tossed out of games. And just physically being pummeled. I think we're seeing a breakdown. Speaking of breakdowns, you got one with your phone. And I think that that's one of the reasons. Like, look at Marchand last night with his goal. That was a breakdown behind the net. So Vancouver having some problem on D as a result of physical injury and a depleted defense corps. And this is a case of a team standing up to the bully. Rafi Torres is not skating around with a cape like he was in the earlier series, is he?
No, and on top of being worn down, they're forced to really overplay guys. Bieksa played 25 and a half minutes, and you know he can't play the whole game, and they're lacking the guys they need. And with the physical play, the Bruins have stepped up over two games, laying hits all over the place. It's taking its toll, and it's going to make a long-term impact on this series.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Fun times in Boston. Michael Hurley of the New England Sports Network. You can check him out at NESN M. Hurley for a Boston native's reaction to the Bruins again beating up the Canucks 4-0 in Game 4 to even up the series. Come back to get your reaction. What is wrong with Vancouver? 416-870-590, 888-666-0590, or star 590. This is Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, Sirius Satellite Radio, channel 157.
Now more of the Andrew Crystal Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Later in the broadcast, they're going to be taking a look at sports media coverage, specifically the CBC. So many emails from folks upset that the CBC characterized the game as going into the ditch last night because Vancouver lost. I don't think the game was going in the ditch. I don't know. Is it just me? But let's get your reaction because there's so many stories with the Cup Final. It's no one predicted that again last night at 4-0 shellacking. No one predicted 12-1 outscoring the Canucks in the two games. We know that Boston had to win Game 3. To do so decisively has carried over into the game last night. It's just a wild thing. What looked like a coronation after the first two games for Vancouver where the score really flattered the Bruins. In that close game, the Bruins just didn't seem to generate any real chances the first two games. I just didn't believe in their capacity to produce offense. So I just didn't think Luongo was ever in trouble. Now, best of three, what do you say? And what's happened to Vancouver? 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590. You've heard from a lot of experts on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 today. Let's hear from you. How do you digest this? Gary in Brampton?
Hey, good afternoon. I believe in that old Conn Smythe saying, if you can't beat him in the alley, you're not going to beat him on the rink. And Boston's becoming the bully, and they're pushing them all around. There's one episode on that rink, on a face-off, one of the twins was getting whacked and hacked, the stick between his legs, back of the, and no penalty call, and he didn't react to any of it. And this, if this goes on in Vancouver, they're done.
Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Vancouver has been the bully, right? We've seen Rafi Torres skating around almost like having a cape on, Superman, wiping guys out. At one point, even after the Seabrook hit, he was skating around looking to hurt Hawks. Now that backfired. They almost got bounced in a very close game 7. The puck was right on the Chicago blade, about to go in the net. But Vancouver prevailed, and they've been tough stuff. Of course, the Nashville series, a little different, but not that physical, strangely. Both teams pretty big. So I guess they figured they were equal in that regard, so nobody leaned on anybody. But Boston has leaned back because Vancouver's been physical. It's almost like Vancouver has woken up the beast. If they're to do this all over again, I wonder if what you say to Vancouver is, don't hit them. Just skate, shoot, pass, but try not to upset the beast. Try not to wake the beast up. In our NBA coverage today, we'll also talk about waking up LeBron James. Apparently that could happen because of loose lips sinking ships on the Mavs. Anyway, that's for later, but it looks like the Bruins are awake. And nobody has been more awakened than Milan Lucic. The guy was never mentioned by a play-by-play voice at all, really, up until recently. Now you're seeing Lucic find his legs, and he's a force out there. Leads the Bruins in penalty minutes. Evo in North York.
Yeah, good afternoon, Andrew. You're basically saying that, you know, what I thought all along. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Vancouver. Boston finally woke up. Earlier in the season, in the series, I was thinking, what's the matter with Boston? Now we're finally seeing the Boston team that I remember seeing, like, all through the playoffs.
Well, I'm just surprised by their poise on offense, their confidence, and their opportunism. And there seems to be some confusion, whether it's, you know, Rome getting ejected and being physically dejected. You know, there is a breakdown with the Vancouver D. Marchand behind the net coming out, or allowed to basically be unobstructed. Some of the moves by the Vancouver defense, they seem tentative, unsure of themselves, unsure of positioning. And that's just a result of being battered. I think that the physical strength of the Bruins is showing itself here. I mean, to what else do you attribute the change in play with Vancouver? How do you reconcile what you saw in the first two games with what you've seen in the last two games? What's wrong with Vancouver? Vince in Mississauga, thanks for calling Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hey, Crystal, I called in a few weeks ago, and I shellacked you for going for Boston when you're a Leaf fan. Buddy, you are the Nostradamus of the Fan 590 here. You have called this series to a T. Like, if you look at basketball and you see LeBron, when he gets challenged, he steps up. The Sedins, Luongo, they're all asleep, man. It's hilarious. Boston is playing that old-school hockey that we haven't seen in the finals for a very long time, and it is one of the best hockey that I've ever seen by far. These guys are bullies. These guys know how to score. Like Brad Marchand, I'm telling you, man, the Leafs got to pick these guys up. Like, these guys are insane. These guys are great.
Those are the great
playoff hockey.
Those are the players. I think of Talbot with the Pittsburgh Penguins when they made their run. There's always guys, and you could just go through your Stanley Cup lore, and that's actually, this might be a good discussion for tomorrow with you, to think about. Maybe you can do this tonight or wherever you're driving to today, whatever you're doing on your day, if you're thinking about sports and hockey. Think of guys, not stars, but pluggers, soldiers who have brought their game to a new level. Yeah, the pluggers. Marchand, I always loved his wheels. And there's just something special when these guys get this fire in their eyes and you see the determination.
That's what playoff hockey is all about. It's the guys who can not only take other players off their games, but it's the guys who can stand in front of the net. And I mean, I know Kessler, I know those guys are standing in front of the net, but Brad Marchand yesterday, I know he took one dumb penalty, but that right there, for a rookie to do what he did, and for the team to step up with one of their best players out like that, I mean, I'm not a Boston fan, I'm a diehard Leaf fan, but when you see Bobby Orr, Horton's agent, holding up his flag and everyone chanting like that, and the whole team rallying behind it, if Vancouver wins this cup, as a Canadian, I will not be happy one bit.
Okay, Vince, one of the things, and I'm going to put you on with some other callers here. Look, as Leaf fans, guys, and I'm a Leaf fan, I don't hide that fact. I know Bob McCown isn't a Leaf fan per se, he's a hockey fan, but I'm a Leaf fan. But don't you, as a Leaf fan, adopt a team in the playoffs? Don't you adopt a team in the cup final? And I've adopted Boston. I make no, you know, bones about that. I mean, I'm doing it. It makes it interesting. I mean, I called a buddy of mine last night. He's a general manager of a golf course. In Nova Scotia, Drew Taylor's his name, used to do a lot of golf in Golf Pro Mississauga, and I said, you're watching him? I go, what do you think? He goes, well, you know, I'm kind of neutral. Well, that's no fun. And as much as I love the Leafs, I don't want to be neutral when I'm watching sports. I want to be cheering for a team, even if it's not my number one favorite. I want to be into it. So I'm going to be fist pumping if the team I've adopted starts to score. And I was fist pumping like a son of a gun over the last two games.
Yeah.
Now, I want to also lay this one out on you, folks. I thank you, Vince, for calling in. I want to lay this one out on you. Name one other sports media member who has been so vociferous in his condemnation of one Roberto Luongo. Have I not, from the outset of these NHL playdowns, as I call them, called out Luongo as a false god, the emperor without his clothes, however you characterize overratedness? Didn't I say that when against those Chicago shooters, that great nucleus of talent that they have in Chicago, how vulnerable Luongo looked? I have been very consistent with this, and he has not changed my opinion. But yet I'm still hearing apologists for Roberto Luongo. Doug McClain coming on saying that he was decent in the first two games, etc. He wasn't decent, Boston didn't generate any offense. And the Canucks were skating better. They were smothering. Because the Canucks can suffocate you. I think they're battered. I think they're worn out. Kessler, I think, is injured. I think the Vancouver Canucks are beat out. I think that beat up. I think that's the dirty little secret of these Stanley Cup finals. But I've been very consistent with you about Roberto Luongo. And I'm coming on to say that I'm right, and Luongo apologists are wrong. And I'll be proven to be right as this Cup final continues. 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590. What's wrong with Vancouver, Tom and T.O.?
Well, that Luongo thing's the easy thing, yes. The reality is he doesn't come through. Anyway.
But Tom, who else has said this? Name another talking monkey like me. I'm the only clown that says this stuff. No, I'm not hearing any of the other clowns say it.
Yeah. Well, I got so many other points I want to make, but that one's just such a moot point.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm a Leaf fan in waiting. I couldn't wait long enough, so I became a Tampa fan about 3 years ago, so I didn't just get on the Tampa Bay bandwagon. I saw a practice game 3 years ago, and Mighty Mouse was the hardest working guy on the ice, and he made the team. So that convinced me that was the team I wanted to follow from there. My care factor in this Stanley Cup final is very low because neither of the teams play hockey the way I like to see it played, with Rafi Torres running around trying to kill people and the defensive style. And I know defense wins championships. It goes in almost every sport. But that doesn't make me excited about watching it.
But, Tom, Vancouver, look at Burrows, talented guy. The Sedins, yeah. They've got lots of talent. And, you know, hats off to these guys, the Sedins, for taking all the wax and hacks they are, right? They may not play physically tough, but they're showing some real determination against some very tough Boston opposition. But, Tom, look at the heroics of Tim Thomas. You're telling me that these aren't interesting hockey games?
I am not that excited. I just don't like this whole headshot thing world. These are the two teams that are leaders in headshot. And maybe not the absolute leader, because, I mean, Cook would be probably win the prize, but hasn't been playing for a while. But, this is just, to me, it's everything. It's against what I believe. I look at Tampa Bay, and they lost by one goal. They should have taken the good penalty so that last goal didn't happen, but they didn't do it. Or maybe more, I don't know. Anyways, they just, that is a team that is everything I believe in hockey. And I can't wait for it to be a Sidney Crosby against Stamkos final. Hopefully Crosby comes back to the NHL, because the skill is what I like. Skill is in Vancouver, but they have so many other issues of diving, and headshots and having, I wouldn't have Rafi Torres on my team in this late in the season. So he scores a goal or two. He's like Domi was. Domi, oh, good, he scored a goal. Okay, but made all kinds of dumb penalties that cost us many games. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. As far as Boston and headshots are concerned, Boston's been the biggest victim when it comes to the whole headshot issue. So don't blame the victim here. But you made some good points, Tom. I agree. I mean, look what happened to Eager. I mean, the guy was, a penalty machine. You don't need that. You don't win games in the playoffs if there's a number on your back and you live up to it. 135 now on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 157. I'm going to take a break. Come back with more of your calls. What's wrong with Vancouver? 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. You're listening to us on Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 157, and Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Make your friends weep with envy. Win wicked prizes inside the Fan Club. Join today at fan590.com. Now more of the Andrew Crystal Show on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Not that I'm bragging, but I'm killing everybody in the Fan 590 playoff pool. I'm beating Lang by like 33 points. Can't touch me. We should be playing Rick James, Can't Touch This, but we got Springsteen. So I don't know if that tells you anything about my hockey prescience. I lead the playoff pool. Those things are coming. I remember one year I had another pool. My girlfriend, now my wife, had me take all Pittsburgh players. It wasn't Pittsburgh's year. I blame her for my loss. 888-666-0590. There we go. *590 in your cell. Your reaction to an incredible game last night. 4-0. Another shout out for Tim Thomas. Almost got one in the first game in Boston, game three. It is a different series. And I don't know what to expect for a game five. I don't even know if you can say game five will be pivotal. Does this go seven? What team will show up in Vancouver? Steve in Toronto, what do you make of the series, and what's wrong with Vancouver?
Good day, Mr. Crystal. Listen, before I go on, that guy Tom brought tears to my eyes. I'm glad I was put on hold, though. I had wiped some tears off my face. That game yesterday was awesome. It really was. I mean, I adopted the Boston Bruins, but that was in the 70s when I adopted them, and they're still my kids. You know what? If it was, then Nathan Horton really woke up the Boston Bruins, I think. I mean, it's obvious to see out there. I'm not the only one who thinks so, but it's so obvious out there. And it looks like Vancouver's playing scared. And I just hope that that they stop being scared, because, you know what, if they do stop being scared, I mean, Boston's got their hands full. I mean, Vancouver's an awesome team. They play, I mean, they're sucks. I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, they go after your head. And, I mean, a good example, Nathan Horton, and the list goes on. I mean, they don't play the way the game should be played. And I'm really happy with the result so far. I just hope that... once again, Vancouver keeps playing that the way they have the last couple of games.
I think it's. Thank you so much, Steve, for your call. I think it's very entertaining anyway. I thought the first two games were entertaining. Didn't know how it was going to turn out, right? Heroics from Vancouver in Vancouver. Nobody expected these games in Boston. I certainly did. I don't know anybody that did. Pat in Bradford, what say you?
Yeah, I didn't expect them to be that one-sided. They really miss Ham Hughes. And but I think it's Kessler, is what you mentioned earlier. He's not feeling good at all, and he's not the Kessler we saw in the first two rounds. Ever since that groin pull against San Jose, he just hasn't brought it the same way, and it's hurting him big time.
I think that it's been strained against Boston. I agree with you. I think that injury that we saw, we thought, you know, he pulled something and it looked like he was out, and then he comes back in and, you know, sort of shakes it off. But yeah, Kessler's, they're all beat up. All of the Canucks, the Bruins are beat up too. But I think somehow the Vancouver is, despite the hit on Horton, something's happening physically. I think the Canucks are starting to break down. 416-870-590, 888-666-0590, *590, and we're seeing some players disappear, and they're disappearing because they can't take it physically. I mean, nobody's, you know, superhuman out there. Tom in Richmond Hill, what do you make of what's going on in the series? Your game reaction, sir.
Well, Andrew, you had me almost convinced about adopting a team, you know, but being a true Maple Leaf fan, I tend to just hate teams less, you know, so, and I hate Boston less than I hate Vancouver, you know, so that's where I stand with that. But what I've been watching is that I've seen that the Boston team, when they talk about each other, they talk about, you know, the family. And when they talked about, well, even when they talked to Tyler Seguin, they asked him, you know, about what it was like with when Horton got hit and got hurt. He talked about, you know, about the, you know, it's a family, and we don't want to see that happen, and we are all digging in for each other. And I think that the cohesiveness with Boston is tighter than what you would see in Vancouver. And the thing that I see in Vancouver is that the Vancouver team is actually giving soccer a good name, because, you know, they're doing better dives than some of the soccer players.
Well, we're seeing both sides do it, but I think Vancouver, my take on it is, and from what I've seen and my position on it, what I've experienced is Vancouver have been, as they oversay, selling the calls or embellishing the calls with the head snaps more than I've seen other teams do it. You're seeing Boston do it now too, but Vancouver has perfected it. LaPierre, very silent. You see, the other thing that we're seeing, like Reimer is just got some more dough. The Leafs signed him up big time. Look at how the Leafs played when they knew that Reimer could stop the puck. Look at how Boston plays, how loose they are. in comparison to Vancouver. Vancouver seems a little bit more hesitant. They seem tighter. They're more banged up. But when you've got Luongo, who is a sieve, you know, a guy who's not living up to his hype between the pipes, you know, you've got problems. And you have confidence problems. You have positional problems. You know, you're always looking over your shoulder every time you're skating up the ice. That's tough to do. Look how tall the Leafs played in front of Reimer. You know, it's not a coincidence. Reimer makes the stops. You know, the team plays better. The team feeds off the big stops. And right now they're loving Tim Thomas. And they're actually, you know, it's like you want to get a job done, give it to a busy guy. You're feeling good offensively. You're also feeling good about back-checking. We're seeing that more, too. The whole five-man unit moves better when they've got a goaltender that's making the big stops. We're seeing it in Boston. 416-870-590, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Matt, in Markham, what say you?
Well, I'm cheering for Boston only because I don't want another Canadian team before the Leafs to win the Stanley Cup. Because it's bad enough that we've got Montreal fans chanting 67, 67. And I know Vancouver, people out in Vancouver hate people out in Toronto for the most part anyway. And I know we're going to get it from them too. And as a Leaf fan, I want Boston to win just because, I mean, it'll be back-to-back original six teams. And, you know, I just don't want to be made fun of by the rest of the country again.
Well, you know, I've said, fair enough, and it's all fair and, you know, fun and games and war. If Vancouver wins, we'll never hear the end of it.
No. No, we won't.
Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. 416-870-590, 888-666-0590, *590. Still, though, I want to see good games. I want to see a long series. You know, I want to see this kind of hockey, this tough hockey with all these storylines. This is a very, very interesting drama. I want to see it played. I don't want anybody to blow anybody out. I wouldn't want to see Boston. Oh, well, maybe. Maybe I would like to see Boston. Another couple of blowouts maybe would be okay. Jason in Moncton.
Hey, how's it going, Andrew?
Good, sir. Your reaction?
Man, what the hell is up with Luongo getting lit up like a Christmas tree like that? Seriously. You know, I mean, last night it was 4-0 and it was in the second period, and I just get to the point, I get so damn pissed off, I couldn't watch the game no more. You know, I'm a Habs fan, but going for Vancouver, you know, I really want Vancouver to win the Cup, but, like, these last two games have been something else.
What's the problem, Jason?
You know what? I don't know. I think that part of it is the Canucks haven't been able to solve Thomas, and even Sedin said it. You know, he's like, we need to solve Thomas. And, you know, I think they could have. You know, if they had it, because he, you know, how Thomas will play when he's always out of the net like that, and I don't know, I just.
But look at the
Luongo,
first.
Even Luongo, though, I mean, letting in goals like that, just, wow.
He sucks. Look, the first two games, it's very simple. Luongo's not very good as a goaltender, but nobody's telling you that. I don't know why I'm the only one that has to come on and talk to you about the truth. The guy's overrated. I've been saying it since day one. I'll say it again. I told you so. I don't know why the other guys. I don't know why the other hockey analysts aren't saying it. You're all the apologists out for Luongo. Look, when it comes to solving Tim Thomas, look how good he was in the first two games. He was great in the first two games. They solved him. Boston didn't generate any offense. Was it the fact that they didn't have their wheels? You see Lucic skating out there. I don't know. But they solved him in the first two games. Heroically, they solved him. And he was good. So Vancouver, you know, has the team. They have the depth, and they've got guys with wheels and guys with hands. What's going on? Let's go to Peter in Burlington.
Hello. Yes, I was concerned when that hit happened, and because of the psychological factor that it created. And the other thing is that Romy's out. They don't have anybody besides Torres that's going to do any hitting, so the factor is gone.
BX is a tough dude.
Hey?
Bieksa is a tough dude. They got some bangers out there. They got Lapierre. They've got some bangers. Chris in Niagara Falls. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm rooting for Boston. I don't know. I think the series is over. Ever since that Horton hit, everything has changed. They're playing totally different. They're outworking them. If you look at last year in the playoffs, Luongo, the Hawks lit him up. And they get him side to side, his five hole opens up. Like, look at last night. Like, the guy is not that good. Like, the only thing he has on his resume, yeah, he's won an Olympic gold medal. So what? You know what I mean? Like, the guy's not that good. So I think the series is over, really. I don't think that.
We saw that. We saw that and said that. We had that perception after game two in Vancouver. We all thought the series was over. Everybody did.
Yeah, they're all working them. Like, you look at Brad Marchand, like, the guy, like, you can't even compare him to Rafi Torres because, like, the guy has hands. The guy can move, he can hit, he can get under your skin. Like, the guy is effective. Rafi Torres, he's a good hockey player, no doubt, but nowhere even close to the same as Marchand. Like, he gets under your skin, he can score goals, whatever it
takes.
But,
Chris, we were counting Boston out after the first two games. Now people are counting Vancouver out.
It's just that they didn't get anything going. Like, you put the hammer, like, you nailed it right on the head. Like, they didn't get any offense going the first two games whatsoever. So, like, yeah, Luongo looked somewhat good. Well, you don't get really much going in front of them. Like, you know, it's anyone will look good in front, and you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I think the series is over. I really, like, the way they're playing right now, like, I can't see Boston losing. Like, they're playing for Horton, really, if you just look at the way they're playing.
Thank you, Chris. The other thing that I want you to think about is Tim Thomas. This is one of the best athletic performances, you know, name your sport. This is an incredible performance that you're seeing by Tim Thomas. Take a look at his age. Take a look at where he is in his career. And, of course, this cup final. This is Tim Thomas's moment. It may never come again. He knows that. So when people start saying, well, the other shoe's going to drop with Tim Thomas, etc. No. He's a money goaltender. And he is going to keep his focus. I don't think you're going to see anybody letting off on the gas in terms of intensity between the pipes in Boston. Tim Thomas is on his game. He owns the net. And I think he'll continue to play at a high level because this is the Stanley Cup final. You know, you're not going to see any letdown game. Not at this time. Not where he is. We know that athletic prowess is a fragile bloom. It's only there for so long. Thomas is aware of that. This is Tim Thomas's moment, and he's not going to let up on his intensity. And that means more spectacular fireworks between the pipes in Boston. Let's go to another call here. Chris in Burlington.
Mr. Crystal, congratulations on your status in the hockey pool there. A couple of things I wanted to mention. First and foremost, you can't touch this is MC Hammer.
That's right.
Rick James.
Right.
Rick James is super freak.
All right, sorry about that.
But to get into it a little bit.
But that
bit
was
here,
the Rick James riff, right?
It was. You were right on. You're on the right track. Just a little bit off.
We're going to have to play this then in honor of my Fan 590 hockey pool where I've basically spanked everybody.
Absolutely.
Jimmy Lang is like 30-plus points behind me. I mean, it's pathetic how badly spanked everybody's been.
Oh, you're beating up on the Langer, are you?
Oh, yeah. Now, Doug McClain has been in tears for, I guess, about a week now, knowing that he's not going to win this thing. So.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. I listened to him on Hockey Central there, and yeah.
Yeah, and for some reason, he took all these Columbus Blue Jackets, so I don't know what he was thinking.
That doesn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
I can see Derek McKenzie going in the first round to Doug McClain.
But we're
going to
have some MC Hammer for you. What are your comments about the reaction to the game last night, game four of the series tied?
Well, basically, I want to get into this whole Marchand thing. Like, I mean, I can't understand. I mean, I understand that you've got a thing going with the Bruins and you're a little bit horny over the whole Boston Bruin thing. But Mr. Marchand, I mean, this guy is a complete and total jerk. I mean, you want to talk about jerks? He's talking, he's yapping on the ice, and he's a quote-unquote rookie, so he really shouldn't be doing that. Then on top of that, I mean, he clotheslines the guy last night. He actually, you know, kind of does a low blow there on Sedin and almost knocks him into next year.
But Sedin was hitting him, right?
Sedin was
making the hit, wasn't he?
The play wasn't whistled down, though. The play was still going on. The play hadn't been whistled, so Sedin was just playing his man. So either way, I mean, you look and then we go into the whole hitting thing. If you review some of those hits, the older hits by, let's say, a Scott Stevens or probably one of Toronto's great heroes, Wendell Clark. How many of those were, you remember that hit on Bruce Bell from St. Louis behind the net?
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
And was Bell prepared for that hit? I mean,
I think he's still feeling it. He's still feeling it. Listen, we got to go to a break. Coming back with more here. And Boston Bruin fans have been, well, loath to show their colors in TL. But apparently they're coming out now. And what team has disappointed you that you've adopted? I mean, look, how do you watch the Cup Final neutral? Don't you have to cheer for somebody, even if you're a diehard Leaf fan? Coming back with more here on the Crystal Broadcast. Thanks so much for joining me. We'll also take a look at the NBA Finals and a whole lot more. Don't you dare go anywhere. This is Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 157.